I've been here for a number of years. Even those of you who've been here just for this year are aware that on many occasions we're zeicha to have a guest speaker, and it is not the minute of the yeshiva ever to introduce anybody. These strange faces appear, walk up to the bima, and start talking. Tonight there's an exception, because tonight I just want to say a few words introducing tonight's speaker. We have the cover tonight that Rav Osher Reich is going to say to us a few words. Rav Osher Reich is the founding Rosh Hashiva of Lev Arya. It is Rav Reich who had the concept and the vision of opening up a yeshiva and formulated and designed what Lev Arya should be. He was kind enough to ask me to help him out. Reich was for many, many years before he started Lev Arya, Rosh Hashiva in Zichron Yaakov, and after he moved away from Eretz Yisrael, he's been for many years a renowned Pesach and a Rav and a Magid Shir and a Rosh Hashiva in Chutz Laaretz. And Baruch Hashem has now returned to Eretz Yisrael. And for me personally, and for Rabbi Lapkin, who unfortunately couldn't be here because he had a previous engagement out of town, it's a shtickle and emotional experience to see Rav Reich walking up to the bima to speak. It's a hargosha of, perhaps the best way of describing it, is the words of Chazal, Shali v'shalachem, this whole Mosad, this whole yeshiva, whatever you're able to do here, whatever you guys are able to be makabel here, Shalehi is simply because of Rav Reich.
Many years ago, I think Rabbi Rappaport will remember this time in Gateshead, a new building was built for the yeshiva, and there was discussion at the time, going back now about close between 45 and 50 years. There was a discussion at the time, sounds a joke today, about the worthwhileness of having what was in those days terms a very bekoverdika dom for a serious yeshiva. It was sort of felt that it would cause a schwachkeit in learning, in the seriousness, in the general atmosphere, whatever. Some people raised questions. Of course, it didn't make an iota of difference. If anything, it increased our modern yeshiva. I came just a year before the building was opened, and I don't think you knew the old building, the old dome, yeah. The old dome was a chorva, and some wanted to stay with that frumke, you know, that's the way it's got to be. And they were all disproved, and learning went on, and Talmidim continued to shteik, and as I say, on the contrary. And it's always been a question. I remember people saying the old kind of verfrumkeit, a yeshiva can't have it too good. It shouldn't be too luxurious. I learned in the Kloisenberger yeshiva in Netanya. I remember the rabbi saying, "Buzepus," he said, "if Bar Ilan University can have dorms with chveis or whatever, says we should be no less." And again, it made no difference. The Gashmius was no steerer to the Ruchnius. Superficially, not superficially, in reality, we know it is. Apparently, in making a yeshiva bekovedik in Gashmius, you're not impacting any way on the learning, other than positively. And the fact is that Talmidim who come to learn are not put off by Gashmius, because in yeshiva, where the tachlis is growing in Torah and Avodas Hashem, it's automatically secondary, everything else. And the fact is, as I say, that the Gashmius is put in its place, and the learning geht weiter. I want to explain with that a few difficult psukim at the end of this week's Sedra, after the Aseres HaDibros. But it's going to be a very hot elaborating on the Seder of Matan Torah. The Torah Kedoshah puts it in a few words. B'chol ha'om ro'im es ha'koilos v'es ha'lapidim v'es koil ha'shofar v'es ha'har ha'shein v'yahu om v'yanu v'yamdu merochek. Whole experience, the whole literally awesome experience is put in one pasuk. Before, it's many psukim, but here, where it tells you they couldn't take it, and they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Daber ata emanu," it puts it all in short. It's a little complicated chronologically, because we know that this actually happened in the middle. After two divrits, they couldn't take any more, and they said, "We need it toned down. Daber Moshe should talk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't just hear straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Toiro tziva lanu Moshe, anoichi v'lo yeh lecha mepi ha'gvura shemanim." The first two, you look in the words of the pasuk, the first two are written in the first person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, "Al panai, anoichi Hashem lekecha, kel kana, oi havai." From there on, Leisisa Hashem Hashem Alekecha Lashov, V'yem Hashem Shabbos Hashem Alekecha. So Moshe Rabbeinu, V'Hashem Yanenu B'Koil, V'Elekim Yanenu B'Koil. It's together. It's like Moshe Rabbeinu with the Koch, like Rashi explains. So it actually happened in the middle. There's a change in the middle, but the Torah Kedoshah puts it at the end. V'Chol Ha'om Ro'im Es Ha'Koilos. Let's just have a look at this pasuk. Everybody knows, for thunder, lightning, awesome experience. Let's just look. I'm not here to dash and masim or kovah, it's very dangerous, and I wouldn't be able to anyway, but the Alshach HaKadosh puts the pasuk of Yechezkel that we say on Shavuos in the Haftarah, You're only supposed to put the Talmud Chacham on this Haftarah because it's like a very awesome Haftarah. He puts it into this Pasuk in the Chumash. Yechezkel says, I was standing on the river, Vatehi Olai, Olav Yad, Isham Yad Hashem. He had the Nevuah came, Vaera, and I saw. Ruach Sa'ara, I don't know if I can translate this strongly enough, a very Ruach Sa'ara, a very shaking up wind spirit came from the north, Onon Godel, a big cloud, V'yesh Mislakachas, and catching fire, V'noiga Loi Soviv. Noga is a certain spiritual light, a very ruchnistika kind of experience. Umitoicha ke'ein hachashmal mitoicha eish. Something very, the Israelis use it for electricity, it's actually something very, very ruchnistik. Coming out of the fire. And in that he saw the Merkava, and then it goes on. And that was the whole experience of Yechezkel, which was like the most explicitly defined spiritual experience in Tanakh. Somehow he saw a vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some form or other, and it's so difficult to understand, you're not supposed to learn it or explain it or whatever. Rashi says you're not even allowed to think of one pasuk there, and that's what the pasuk says there. So the Alshich says all Klal Yisrael went through this whole thing, and it went stage by stage. And at the beginning, even the goyim had some sense of what was going on, and that's why they ran to Bilam. What's going on here? They were shaken up by it, and he said, "There's no problem. The Jews." Hashem Islam or Yitain, they get nothing to do with us. The Jews are getting the Torah, and that was the end of their awareness. But Klal Yisrael went on and on. So he looks at the path, the Alshech HaKadosh says, first it's Koilais, and then it's Koil HaShefa. Koil HaShefa means the Koil of Hashem, he explains. Hailech v'chazek, Rashi says, Kaila Shefa, Hailech v'chazek, went stronger and stronger. It's the sound of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But between the Kailais and the Kaila Shefa, there's the Lapidim. And after all that, that's a big enough experience. V'yasahar Oshen, they saw the mountain smoking. Now that's small talk. After the Kailas and the Lapidim. So why does it come at the end? It's building up. Hailech v'chazek. So he explains these four. He says, everybody knows this. I don't know. He's referring to Mekabolim or whatever. But he says, it's a known thing. He says that there are four mechitzos, four stages before you can get into Kaviyochol, Ponim el ponim, to have to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were. He says, I've forgotten the way he says it. It's a known thing, he says, that there are four mechitzos. And he starts with number one, the Kailos. He says that's a general one that even the goyim are aware of, because the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu split into 70 languages. What does it need 70 languages? The Eden didn't know 70 languages. But that's just the fact. When it comes down to this world, he says there's a sensitivity. He says the malachim, each language has a malach. They all know it shakes up everybody. It came down, this far down, that even the goyim had to be shaken up by it. But all they heard was not a real coil. The Eden saw it was coilless. They just got shaken up, a sort of shake-up in the world, and that's the first stage. That's frightening enough. Eden said, no, we're going further. Lapidim, so that was the Ruach Sa'ara, that was the tornado, like the shake-up of the world shaking. The second one is Anan Godol, he says. So why a cloud, why an Anan? Because it's too dangerous to experience the sound of a Kadosh Baruch Hu straight. You can't do it. It's painful, he says. It's painful. The more further you go, the more painful, the more demanding it is. So it needs a cloud around it. But he says, Yidden saw it as lapidim, sparks of fire. And he goes on. Eish mislakachas, number three. A further fire. But this is, they're so shaken up by it that they had to catch on to something. So it's mislakachas. That's the third stage. And that's Koil HaShefa. That was, they were starting to get a sense of Hashem speaking. This was all before even HaKadosh Baruch Hu started saying Anochi. And he puts it in the Pesukim before the Aseret HaDibros as well. When it says Vayetze Moshe had to take him out. They needed Moshe to be able to stand. Vayetzvu, they were able to stand and get them, put themselves together with the help of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how he explains the Pesukim there. And the fourth one is the coil, still not facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's getting closer. Fourth one, Ke'ena Chashmal Mitecho Eish, that's another fire. Explains each one, each dauga, each madrega of fire. Kitsa, they were having a really powerful experience, to put it very, very mildly. Mitecho, Ke'ena Chashmal Mitecho Eish, Asher Shom Hoelikim. It says, this fourth time it doesn't say Eish Mislakachas. It was just fire. They were burning. They were like all in the fire. It says in Parshas Vaschanan, when it says they couldn't take it, they said, Ki Sechleinu Hoesh Hagdela Hazais. We're afraid this great fire is going to eat us up. Consumers. So he says, this is the last fire. There's Eish and there's Eish HaGdela. And at this stage, they said, Hayayim hazeh ro'inu ki yedaber lekim es ha'odom v'choy. They were amazed that they could stay alive. V'yato lomo nomus. Why should we die? Well, they hadn't died so far, so why were they going to die further? So he explains that after they got so far, they actually were kavayochel facing the Shechina. The fourth time, after the fourth time, he says Eish HaGdela, and that's what the pasuk, that was the Kol HaShefa. So V'yasahar Oshen, he says, it was so frightening that it had to be all totally in a cloud. Only Moshe Rabbeinu could speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamash ponim al ponim, and Klal Yisrael weren't ready for that, so they had to have a Sahar Oshen. It was all in smoke, which dulls and dims the vision. But after that, he says Vayar Hoam. What do they say? Ratzeinenu liris es malkeinu. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that a person can't normally survive. And they died. That's as far as it goes, he said. They needed Tchias HaMesim after that. And the Gemara says so. It's all in the Gemara, actually. Nafshi yotza v'dabrei, kol dibo v'dibo sheyotza mepeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yotza nishmosan shel Yisrael. And that brings Midrashim also. The dibo spoke to them. Each time a word came out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were facing the Shechina. I can't describe it more, and he doesn't describe it that much more, but he says Vayar Hoam, that was what they asked for, that was what they got. They got that's this total experience that a human being can't normally live through. And then it says Vayanu, they shook Vayamdu Merochik. So what's the end of the pasuk now? Vayanu means to move. Novanot, shake a bit, shokel. Ayamda Marochik means they went a long way back. The Gemara says they went back 12 mil. That's quite a lot. Same Gemara. Kol Dibba Vadibba Chazru 12 mil. And they came back again for the next Dibba. In fact, they walked that day 240 mil. Men, women, children. Gemara adds it up and says it was 240 in one day. So the Vayanu doesn't seem to go with Vayamdu Merochek. What's Vayanu and what's Vayamdu Merochek? So he explains. They were dead. And they came back to life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them a Tal Tchia. And they were able to shave. First, they just lost themselves completely. They lost their lives. Vayanu, they were able to move. And then they were like when you wake up from an accident or something, you start feeling the pain. They couldn't take it. So then they quickly had to go back out of the Machna, 12 mil. 12 mil is the whole area in which they were facing the Shechina, the Machna. Every single person had to go back. There was a setup. They were set up. Everybody had his place. So they all had to go 12 mil out of the whole area. But that wasn't once. That was 10 times. Because as soon as that had finished, the first Dibba, they went back again. This is every one of the 10 Dibbas. The first two and the next eight. Each time, they went forwards and backwards. Forwards and backwards. So Hayama Zero Inu, they saw that they could live through it. Well, they couldn't, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped them to do it. I'm just looking for where the Gemara adds it up. That's what I was looking for before. But I remember the Gemara adds it up here and says they walked that day 240 mil and they couldn't really do it on their own. It was a bit of a big walk for a day. A day you're supposed to only to be able to go 40. How could they walk the other 200? So the Malachim helped them. Kadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malachim, come and help your brothers. Siu la'acheichem. Help your brothers because they've got a long way to go. And they came back each time. Backwards and forwards, and backwards and forwards. So they saw that they could live through it two times, but they said, we're afraid. We had Tchias HaMeisim twice already. We're not sure it'll happen another eight times. We need the Adibrais, but we can't take it. So you help us. You do it, Moshe, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what they said, and that's what happened. So, obviously that Shavuos, they weren't feasting on blintzes and cheesecake. They were experiencing something that was very hard and demanding and actually, they used the word, painful. But they were dying to do it, literally. And they went again, they went back and back and back. No, we're going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the midah of Klal Yisrael, of wanting Ruchnius at all costs. We said Ritzeinenu L'Eretz Malkeinu, oh, we can't take it literally. Oh, only twice we saw it, so we'll have it now with Moshe. But we're desperate. We're going for it. Wherever, even if it costs our lives, and even the next eight times, it also needed Tchias HaMeisim. But they apparently that they could live with, and the first two times was like above, beyond all beyond their ability. So, Klal Yisrael have this thing that when they get to Ruchnius, when they get to something real, a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ritzoneinu L'Eretz Malkeinu, they forget about themselves, they forget about their abilities. And the first two times, they went weiter and weiter and weiter And yeah, ma say yeah, we're going for it. And even the next 8 times, they were all gung-ho, but with Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a fact that Yidden are spiritual. And when it comes to Ruchnias, that overrides everything else. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, says the Pasuk in the last parsha, Koy Seimer al Bnei Yisrael, Atem Riyisem Ki Min HaShamayim Dibati Yomochem. You've seen now that I spoke to you Min HaShamayim. You got what you asked for. Now, already in the Aseret HaDibros, it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Lai Yelecha, Lai Sase, Lai Sishtachva, all the Avodah Zarah things are written there. It's repeated here at the end. Don't make Lai Sasan Iti Elai HaChesef Elai Zov Lai Sasan. Why is it repeated? Haven't we had enough Ashoras on Avodah Zarah? Right after the Aseret HaDibros again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, don't make Avodah Zarah. If the first one's not going to help, then what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? You said it to me, you didn't say it to them. Well, whatever. What's this added? I want to say the following pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, to Moshe, talk to Koy Seimer El Bnei Yisrael. Remember, Taima, Amira, is not a formal, strict instruction. It's talking, not speaking. It's smoothing. Kai Simon of Nato. Let the Kai Spirit of Nato talk to them. Look, you guys have seen something that's unbelievable. Min HaShamayim Debati Yemochem. Because Baruch spoke to you Min HaShamayim. Lai Sasson Iti Eloi Hei Chesef Verehezov Lai Sasson Lachem. It's not a love. There's no extra love for Avodah Zarah here. It's just a fact. Klal Yisrael cannot, not just will not, cannot believe in anything other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know the joke, the different shmadnikers, apostates are sitting together in a pub and drinking, and everybody's telling you the reason why he converted, became a goy. One of them tells him he couldn't get into university. The other one, couldn't want to get into the army. And the other one tells his story. He fell in for a goyish woman. They all go and they're talking, they're drinking. One of them sitting quietly at the side, not saying anything. They ask him, "Nu, Yankel, what's your story? Why are you?" I really believe, Yoshke, I really believe. Are you crazy, they say to him. He clashed that nonsense with me, sugar fisty. Until they talk him out of it, and make him trick for a yid. You can't. Well, the yid, you've seen the Amish, you've seen a Kodesh Baruch Hu Mamash. Machzach nish narish. So, Elai HaChesef, In the Chassidish Pshatim, Kesef and Zov represent Tava and Gava. Gods that you make for yourself out of, well, Kesef could mean money as well, but anything that a person has a Tava for, Kisufim, Nechsafta Rabbeis Avicha, is included in Kesef. And Zov, that's more complicated, represents always the authority, the tzad, small midasadin, of something that a person wants power and creates himself a god of a position or a benefit that he'll get, that will put him in a position of that he's tempted to because of his gava, is Elai HaZov. Elai HaChesef and Elai HaZov represent all the basic Yetzer Haras that we have. Sukta Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Lei Sasan Iti. You're with me. Now you know you're with me. You know I'm here. So what are you looking for anything else for? You're not going to Lei Sasan Lachem. Even if you make anything else, it won't be Lachem. A Yid will never be satisfied with anything else. Lachem is something you have Hanoah from. You'll never have Hanoah. You'll always be nagging you. So serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu and do the right thing, because in any case that's what you want to do. The bottom line is that once we go through Kabbalah Satayra, we're never put off by Gashmias. The only thing Gashmias can do is can take us out of the Beis Medrash. And once we're there, we can forget about it. We're not standing in front of Har Sinai. We're by Amud Marochik. But if we're in the Beis Medrash, and we're going to the Beis Medrash, and we're learning, and we're helped by learning, there's no way that anything else can tempt us and put us off. So my bracha to the Olam, and to everybody here who's connected to learning, who's steiging in learning, who's connected to the Beis Medrash, is to stay in the Beis Medrash. Once you're in front of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, nothing else will take you away. Zayt Matzliach.